going to read from Daniel chapter 1. This term in the evening services, we're looking at circumstances, picking up on different people in the Bible who faced different circumstances for different reasons. Sometimes those circumstances radically change their lives. And what we're trying to do is just simply look at God's word and understand how they responded as they walked with God in those situations. So we're looking at Daniel tonight, Daniel chapter 1. Daniel was a young man around 600 years BC who was carried off when the empires that came down from the north swept through under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and ransacked Jerusalem, but took the best of the best back to Babylon to retrain them. And we pick up that story when we begin with Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of Babylon. The king had assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years and then after that enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king who's assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So reads God's word. Circumstances, amazing circumstances. So there's Daniel, a young man who's been taken away from home. He's been put through training because he's been found to be not just tall, dark and handsome. He's been found to be bright and intelligent and already a learned young man. But he's been thrown into completely different circumstances than what he expected. Effectively, he's been put on a 3-year degree program to learn the Babylonian way of life and Babylonian literature so he can become a courtier in Nebuchadnezzar's court. And he's going to be tested at the end of 3 years. They're given the best of the best. They're given the king's table to eat and to enjoy. And I don't know what they were eating in those days, but Daniel makes big choices about that too. He's even given a new name. The name that he had, Daniel, is taken away and he's given a new name that is attached to one of the Babylonian gods. Now, for a self-respecting young Jewish man, that would have been quite an insult. Being dragged away from home, carried along with temple artifacts that meant your temple had been desecrated, that were now put in the temples of other gods and used as worship for other gods. Then having your name taken and changed and then given the name of another god that you wouldn't want to worship or know. What an amazing challenge. What an amazing opportunity. I mean, let's face it. I mean, lots of young people around the age of Daniel get dragged away from home by parents who want to get rid of them. I mean, they think mum and dad are crying when they drop them off at university and then driving back home. They laugh all the way home. Whilst the mini mortgage is going out of their bank balance, suddenly they are free. And now at university, you've got a choice. Not just who will you be. Will you live under another name? Maybe you keep the name, but another identity. You've got the opportunity, you're away from home, you can do what you like. Maybe not so much eat from the king's table, but certainly let's have a few drinks from the king's table. What a choice. What does Daniel do? What does Daniel do? One of the most important parts of a boat is the bit you can't see. And you hit rough weather, when you hit a storm, the thing that's going to keep you balanced, the thing that's going to keep you upright, is whether or not that boat's got a decent keel. Now, the keel is the bit underneath. And even small boats have it. I once went sailing on Windermere. I think I've been sailing 2 or 3 times in my life. And we had, I think it was an Enterprise. And there was nothing underneath except there was this slot that had a hole in it. I'm like, oh dear, we've got a hole in the boat already. And the guy who was teaching me a bit of sailing that day, he gets this big long board out and he pushes it through the slot once we're in the water and says, that's the keel. The keel is the thing that keeps you steady. The keel is the thing that keeps you upright. So I wonder, what was going to keep Daniel on an even keel when he was dragged away from home, given a new name, had the opportunity to have a completely new identity? What was going to keep Daniel on an even keel? Well, we're told already that Daniel was a man who'd been given incredible wisdom and understanding of God. And because of that, was immediately showed favor. But Daniel understood this, that it wasn't the situation that he was taken into that was going to shape his life. It was what was inside, what was unseen. It was the keel that he'd already grounded in God that was going to be the thing that shaped his life. It could have been the king's table. It could have been the king's wine. It could have been the king's God. Could have been those things. And he said, okay, new place, new situation, new identity. He said, no, I've already got a keel in my life. I've got something unseen in me that is going to keep me and hold me in these circumstances. See, whatever we face, and here's Daniel in a very different, very alien environment that was an immense challenge to him. But whatever he faced, but whatever we face, We need to be in a place where those situations, our situations, are shaped by our standards. I don't know if you've realized it, but every single one of us has values. You might never have thought about them, but they are kicking into your life all the time. As say, for example, you're walking down the street and there in front of you, as you look down, is a £20 note. You pick it up and you think, whoa, £20 note. The next few seconds determine what kind of values you're operating out of. What would you do if you found a £20 note in the street? Well, I have found one outside a DIY shop one day. I thought, oh, £20 note. I took it straight into the desk and I said, somebody's dropped this outside. I wonder if you could keep it and see if somebody comes for it. And they said, oh, nobody will. You just have it. And I said, but it's not mine. They couldn't believe that I didn't want it. They said, oh, just take it away. I said, it's not mine. Wait and see if somebody comes for it, and then you determine what you will do with it. Daniel had an opportunity. And when there was a chance of eating meat and food from the king's table that had been sacrificed to idols, Daniel said to the official who was in charge of them, he said, no, I won't go that route. Now, the official, as we've read, was really worried because he's like, guys, I've got to feed you up. Guys, I've got to give you the best of the best of the best. No McDonald's for you. You've got to have Burger King from the king's table. Okay? Right? He said, you've got to have the best of the best. And Daniel says, no, just give us vegetables. We'll be fine. And so they have a 10-day test. I'd love to have been Daniel when he got beaten up by the other guys from other countries, when they were then put on the 10-day vegetable diet or a permanent vegetable. There they are eating steaks and venison and guinea fowl or whatever kings eat in Nebuchadnezzar's day. And suddenly that's all swept clean. They got a plate of peas and broccoli in front of them. And the court official saying, you're going to look great on this, guys. Believe you me. But that's what he did. Why? Why? Because what was already in him, the keel of his life was already set, so he wasn't shaped by what was going on around him. He was shaped by what was set on the keel within him that was keeping him balanced. And for every single one of us, we've got to realize this. We've got to own it and take the responsibility of it, that our situations are always shaped by our standards, by our values. A long, long time ago, in a world where I had a girlfriend who was away at university, I went off to see her, took her out for dinner, and she made it very plain that she didn't want me to go home that night, that she wanted me to come to her bedroom and sleep with her. And spend the night with her. I stood up, I walked out, and drove 2.5 miles home through the middle of the night because my standards were shaping my life. I made mistakes. I'm not trying to say I'm a great saint or anything, but I do want to say that for some of us, we get in situations where opportunities are in front of us, and it's the opportunities that shape us. And God's call from his word is, no, 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 no. Set your keel on a different path. Let my word, let my ways determine who you are. Ian read from Psalm 16 at the beginning. And one of the verses in Psalm 16 says it for Daniel here, where the psalmist says, I will not let other gods. I will not let sacrifices made to other gods determine the way my life is set. And Paul writes to Philippians, the Philippian church in the New Testament, part of the Bible, and he says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let those things become the keel. Let those things become the way you hold yourself in the storm. Because without them, the storm will wash over you, but it will also wash you over. There's another Daniel story. Have a look at the picture of the boat and see if you can see what's wrong with the boat. Somebody dare hazard a guess. It's on the rocks, yeah. What does that mean? It's against the wind. Worse than that. It was in a storm and it had no anchor. In a storm and it had no anchor. When I looked at the picture, I kind of thought, what's a tree doing in front of that boat when it's sailing along the shoreline? It's going to hit the tree. And then I realized that it was in a storm and it had no anchor. Daniel got in a storm. Some of you know the story of Daniel chapter 6, where Daniel escaped the lion's den. But Daniel in that point was known for being upright. It was known that the king was going to promote him. And the people who were alongside Daniel in officialdom and power actually hated him. And they couldn't find anything about him that they could use against him to bring him down. Whatever politics or anti-negative diplomacy they could employ, it just didn't work. It didn't wash with Daniel. And so they actually go to the king and they try and kind of, they get a law passed that if somebody prays to anybody other than the king, they would be thrown into a den of lions. Now, laws that were passed in their day were fixed. They couldn't be changed once they were made. And the king was foolish enough to let this law go through. Didn't realize that the fix was in for Daniel, who was so committed to his spiritual walk with God that nothing would shake him from it. Nothing would shake him from it. And so Daniel committed to praying three times a day with his face towards Jerusalem, because his heart was in Jerusalem, the place of the presence of God. That's why he prayed that way. With his face towards Jerusalem, was soon arrested because he'd broken the law. The king was devastated because he loved Daniel. He was about to promote him, but he'd made this law. And this law meant that Daniel had to be thrown into the den of lions. Now, that's a pressure situation. Daniel knows the law, but his love for God, his commitment to God, and the things that he's got in place that hold his life in place, he will not let go of. Now, we talked a moment or two ago about forging or making sure you've got a great keel in your life that holds you balanced through whatever you go through. When you read the story of Daniel, you begin to see what some of the components of that keel or what the anchor that holds his life through the storm might be made up of. In chapter 2, verse 20, we'll refer to that in a moment or two, but Daniel is under another massive high-pressure situation, facing possible execution. And in chapter 2, verse 20, Daniel turns to prayer. But what he does is, in that situation, he actually turns to worship. He doesn't get on his knees and say, God, they're going to kill us, they're going to execute us. He doesn't. Even though he's facing death, listen to his prayer. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. Daniel, in that place of pressure, worships God. And one of the things we've done tonight is the team, the worship team, chose songs, knowing the kind of subject. They said, what kind of songs do we sing? Do we need to be singing in our lives for any and every situation? Not just the mountaintop stuff, but blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I'm found in the wilderness. What's going to keep you there? One of the components of your anchor or of your keel has got to be a fixed point of worship. No matter what you face, to be in a place where you have a heart to worship God. No matter what. When we have funeral services here, Ian and I tend to use, you may not have realised, we actually use a book of liturgy. It's just kind of partly out of nerves for me. I don't know about Ian, but I just kind of have some prayers that are there in front of me that I can read. And one of the prayers I love, because it simply says this: God, even in the midst of death, we worship you. Even in the midst of facing the pain of grief and death, we worship you. Whatever you do, make sure worship is an integral part of the thing that holds your life into God. Take time to worship him. Time here on a Sunday, yes, but even in your own time alone with God, don't just dive into a shopping list of prayer. Take time to honor him. Take time to worship and bless his name. If God's given you the gift of speaking in another language, then use that to worship Jesus. Make that an integral part of the thing that holds your life. Not just that. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, we find that Daniel's a reader. We know he's intelligent. We know he's educated. But in chapter 9 and verse 2, it says that I understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah. Now, you've got to know, at this point, Jeremiah is pretty much hot off the press. Jeremiah was speaking into a similar period of time, around about 600 years BC, and Jeremiah and Daniel kind of overlap on a timeline, just about that much. So for Daniel to be reading Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was writing right into those present circumstances, it's almost like Daniel's reading the front page of the Times or some other such educated piece of material. That's not the Daily Mail. Oh, sorry. Right? So Daniel's reading the word of God. He's reading Jeremiah and he calls it scripture. And he says, I understood from the word of God that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now, he's read that in Jeremiah chapter 25. Because Jeremiah says, God is going to take you away from the land of Israel. He's going to take you away from Judah and Jerusalem because you've turned your backs on me. And you will suffer 70 years of exile as a great big loving wake-up call to make you realize that I'm your God, not those tin pot idols you've started to worship. So Daniel gets a hold of this because he's reading the word of God. And the word of God then shapes the prayer that Daniel is about to pray. It shapes him so much that he says, he turned to the Lord God and pleaded in prayer and petition, in fasting, sackcloth and ashes. So not just worship, Daniel builds prayer into his life. Sorry, the word of God into his life. So it's worship, it's reading the word of God and understanding how that applies to his life. So it's not just, oh, that's a nice psalm, that'll do for today, thank you. It's actually shaping him because he reads this word and this word leads him into prayer. Component of the keel. Something that's going to hold you like an anchor in the storm. Worshiping God. No matter what, worship God. Read the word of God. And then the other thing that Daniel does is he leads in chapter 9, he leads into prayer. Reading the word of God leads into prayer. And if you want simple components of a time on your own with God, whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, worship, God's word, and time to pray. Very simple. But if you write those things into your life, I want to tell you again and again and again, they'll become your anchor. I went through a whole period in my life when I believed I was a free Christian. And a free Christian, as in F-R-E-E, meant I didn't have to have a quiet time. because I'm free. I pray all the time. That's the thing I would have said to you. I just have this relationship with God where I pray all the time. And I read the Word of God when I feel it's right. That's the kind of Christian I was. I thought, and I enjoyed that freedom. It was really cool. And one day I was listening to a preacher. And the preacher really challenged me about journaling. And I'd gone to a friend who was helping me, and we were praying together, and we just began to set targets for quiet times, having devotional times with God on a daily and regular basis. And I began to build those into my life. I want to tell you this. Initially, I was rubbish at it. I wasn't seen for a month. And he said, well, how many quiet times are you going to have in a month? I'm like, well, I don't know. If I have 10, it'll be 10 more than usual. So I said, okay, 10. And the next month, okay, well, let's try 15. Till I built in, this is 20 years ago now, I built into my life just a regular committed walk with God. I do a whole host of things that take up that quiet time. Everything from reading, journaling, texting, praying, worshiping. But all I'm saying to this is, I know from doing that began to put an anchor in my life. That when some of the tough times that have hit my life hit, the one thing that didn't go away was just this hanging on to and rootedness or anchoring in God. Sometimes it felt like the anchor chain was on a thread, but it kept me. The thing that will shape you and shape your standards and shape the way you are in those tough circumstances is whether you've got anchored into God. So can I encourage you? And the great thing about those disciplines is that they don't bind you up at all. They actually set you free. They set you free into relationship. They set you free into meeting God on a daily, regular basis. They set you free to knowing Him in a way that ignoring Him doesn't. It's weird. It works that way. It's kind of called a spiritual life. Then the other thing Daniel did, and there's loads of things that you can learn from Daniel, but Daniel had this amazing ability to somehow tune in to God and learnt that what it was to wait for the wind of the Spirit. So in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. I think it's more of a nightmare. And it's one of those things. Have you ever had a dream when you woke up, you know you had a dream, but you don't know what it was? No? Is it just me? Okay, right, Esther, thank you, Esther. At least somebody's listening. Right, so you wake up, you've had a dream, you're in a lather, a cold sweat, your heart's racing, you've had this dream, you don't know what it was. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's like, I want to know what the dream was. It just impacted him so much. He's saying, I want to know what the dream was. So he gets all his wise men, all his magicians and his enchanters in, and he says, look, guys, I want you to go away and tell me what the dream is. And they're, okay, king, we'll do that. He says, you better had, because you're dead if you don't. Literally, that's what he said. Daniel chapter 2. He said, you will be executed. And when the wise men came back, verse 12 of chapter 2, he said they couldn't tell the king what it was, and they owned up to that. He said it made the king so angry and furious, he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So there's Daniel under pressure, under this, literally, Nebuchadnezzar's sword, and he's going to die. What does Daniel do? Daniel prays, but we've already said what he did. He worships. Praise be to the name of God, our Father, forever and ever. Daniel comes to worship, but in that worship he then says, God, you've given me wisdom and power and made known to me what we asked of you. You've made known to us the dream of the king. You see,
getting your values and your standards built into your life in a godly way, walking with God in a way that keeps you consistent in that love relationship that God wants you to enjoy in Him, those things will open you up to God speaking into your life in a way that you may never have known before. It will open you up to hearing the wind of the Holy Spirit giving you direction in a way you may never experience before. And Daniel simply prays because in that prayer, he's learned what it is to wait for the wind of the Holy Spirit. I love that. If you ever came to me and said, Andrew, what's the prayer that you pray that God answers most? Now, I want to tell you this. I'm not the greatest prayer in the world. I have learned disciplines. I love going to prayer meetings. But if you came to me and said, what's the prayer God answers most? I will always say the prayer about preaching. Because kind of at the beginning of a week, when I'm looking up the passage of Scripture, I immediately begin to say, God, what are you wanting to say? What are you wanting me to say? Sometimes it'll take all week, and on a Saturday morning, I'll still be wrestling and thinking, God, just give me that sense of what the Holy Spirit is saying. So I've done the passage, I've looked at it, I've read commentaries, I've done all those kind of things, but I'm still waiting. Sometimes it'll happen almost immediately. So I'm preparing this week. Monday afternoon, I have a quick read of Daniel and thinking, oh, yeah, that's a great subject. And I'm walking around. I'm saying, God, what do you want me to say? What does your spirit want to say? And then just bang, bang, bang. I just hear straight away what I believe God, the Holy Spirit, wants to say. Now, I still have to sit down and read the passages and understand them and study them. But that sense of what God wanted to say tonight was there. Time and time again, I just rejoice and thank God that His Spirit has spoken that to me. Now, it may not work like that for you, but I want to encourage you to try. Because kind of keening into the wind of the Holy Spirit is so vital for your life. And it's not just for pastors or senior pastors who've done 20 years. Sounds like a sentence, doesn't it? That? No. It's for you. It's not just for Daniel, who is this great example as a man of God. It's for you to learn the lessons of Daniel so that when you're going through the stuff in your life that is impacting you, you're not on your own, because Jesus said you wouldn't be. He said, I will ask the Father and He will send the Holy Spirit. And He will teach you. He'll take from what is mine and He'll teach it to you so you can listen and hear and know who to be and know how to be. And that day, Daniel stood up in front of Nebuchadnezzar and saved his and all his friends' lives. Because in those moments, the Holy Spirit spoke to Daniel the wisdom of the dream. And He brought it to Nebuchadnezzar. Read Daniel chapter 2 for homework for the end of the story. But how do you do that? Well, it only happens as you tune out to the rest of the world. I think sometimes it's a bit like, I haven't got a digital radio, okay. I've got one of those old-fashioned ones where you have to tune it in. And, you know, it's all crackly and fizzly and stuff. And you can just about catch Radio 4, because I'm at a Radio 4 age now. Have been for a long time, actually, but anyway. And you want to tune it in, and all that fizz and hiss, and then finally, as you turn the tuning dial, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer until you've got Radio 4 in all its wonder and its glory. And you think, oh, no, it's the Archers again. Okay, so you've got that. But learning, reading the Word, worship, prayer, those things help you begin to tune in to all the fizz and crackle and hiss of today and yesterday and the busyness of your life gets phased out and you begin to hear Him. So you've got to tune out from everything else. Turn to the Holy Spirit and then trust Him. If God's Word's been shaping your heart and your mind, if fixing on him in worship and praying has been building into your life and building you up and building you up and building you up, then you can be led by the wind of the Holy Spirit. And you will enjoy that. I'm serious. You'll enjoy it. You'll rejoice in it. Because you'll know it's coming out of your relationship with him. You can be wrong. But if you're shaped by his word, you're living in worship, you're honestly, openly seeking him in prayer, trust him. He will lead. Let's pray. God, thank you for men like Daniel. And thank you that we can learn from him. And we pray your Holy Spirit will teach us even tonight what we need to hear. Now, for some of us, it may be as simple as saying, I need to be more disciplined. And I need to set those disciplines in my life that tune me in to God in a way that I've never done before. How can you begin? Were you determined to make the first steps? Maybe you know you need to make some decisions about how you live. Bring your values, bring your standards, so that they shape the circumstances you're in. Will you do that? Especially if you're away from home. Especially if you're at university. Will you let God's ways shape who and how you are? Holy Spirit, teach us what it is to hear you. Teach us what it is to feel the breeze and know the breeze of your grace, your love, your wisdom, your truth blowing into our lives. Teach us to be obedient. Breath of God, come sweeping through us. Amen. God bless you.